There we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program today. I don't know what just happened there. terrible. And I'm still trying to get the timing right. The blooming timing got me thrown off again last week. Now, I do remember telling people that that there's a delay in the show. And I'm about 2 minutes behind everyone else. Very, very strange, and I'm still kind of working out the timing, trying to get that all right. Anyway, hello, welcome to the program for today. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and you'll notice that my voice is still sounding a bit strange and still a little bit nasally, but I do have some news on that regard. I'll get to that just a little bit later. Finally broke down and had my sinuses looked at because it had been a long time. And I finally, over the last week, I had had definitely signs of a sinus infection. So I decided to go to the doctor, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But anyway, so last week's show got cut off, and it does happen from time to time. And it's just a matter of timing out when I have to wrap things up, and I'm supposed to do it at 2 minutes to, but the delay sometimes makes that a little bit different, and I think the delay kind of varies from week to week. That makes it very frustrating. Anyway, hello to Mikey Holt. Hello, I see that Mikey is out there listening. And no, Mikey, the reason why I start late is not because of the news, though that has something to do with it, I think. It's really because of the delay between when my signal goes out and the time when you all hear it. Because after I speak, my words have to whiz across the Atlantic, go to Chris's house, go through his computer, and then are broadcast to all of you there in the UK. And the average delay is about 2 minutes. Not really sure what we can do about that, but it does seem to vary from week to week. I know 1 week it was almost 4 minutes. So it really does vary a lot. Anyway, it looks like Mikey got my message. It looks like he's hearing me pretty quickly this week. So it's probably typical about 2 minutes. Anyway, talking about the doctor. So finally, yeah, this past week I had kind of this bout of fever, and it was clearly centered on my sinuses, and it's like, okay, time to go to the doctor, get some antibiotics, get the sinus thing cleared up. I know I deal with this all year round because I have my sinuses have a lot of sensitivity to the cold and to the damp and all this other stuff. But hopefully my voice will be sounding better, at least more normal, from here on in. And I'm in about halfway through this course of antibiotics, and that will be so much fun. I mean that fun in a not fun kind of way. So what do we have coming up on the show? We have Today in History. We have Chris Reardon has decreed. We'll be trying something new on the show today. Woo! Yeah, that's exciting. And we'll have part two of our discussion of Croatia, because we got interrupted in part one. Yes, Mikey wants me to mention that he said shitty news and not news. I'm sorry, I can't say the word shitty on the show. All right, so let's move on here. So I went to the store last week, just after the program, because I had a few bits and pieces I had to pick up at the local market. And if you guys recall, last week I was speaking with Mark in Bristol. Hello, Mark, if you're out there listening today. And we're talking a bit about bananas and about the different varieties of bananas. And a couple, he had been talking about the red bananas that they got in Sri Lanka. Well, it turns out that you could get them here in Chicago all year round. And so what I'm going to do, and it's not going to be this week, folks. It's probably going to be a week or two from now. I'm going to have a banana tasting on the show because I went down to the local market here, just down at the corner. They had four varieties of bananas that you could eat. And then they had two varieties of bananas that are for cooking, which I won't won't be tasting. But we're going to have a banana tasting right here on Tom Harris Live in the next couple of weeks or so. Don't let me forget, because I'll actually have to go down and get the various bananas and come here, and we will try them together. We were looking at, Pete and I were talking about this the other day, and we found a kind of banana that we would both really like to try. It's called the Java Blue banana. Don't know if they're actually blue or not. Might be. But it's said that they taste of vanilla ice cream. Doesn't that sound lovely? I would love that. To go down and that sounds like a really nice banana, but I have not seen those here in Chicago. I don't know if they're readily available here, but you never know. So Mikey is saying, bravo, Mr. Harris. Yes. Thank you, Mikey. All right. So what we're going to do today, we're going to have a tasting of a product, because while I was down at the store, they have this section of the store, little local market, has a lot of food from around the world, but particularly Hispanic products. And I found this drink called Vita Malt. And I had never tried this before. It was in the soft drink section. There's no alcohol. I'm not allowed to have alcohol at the moment, folks. I have to go 10 days without having any alcohol. Not that that's a problem, but I do miss my whiskey in the evening. I usually have a nice, scotch or a whiskey and coke in the evening, but I can't do that as long as I'm on these antibiotics for the sinus thing. So, anyway, I got this bottle of Vita Malt, and in the second half of the show, we will be talking about that live. We will sample the Vita Malt live, and I will be describing the entire experience for you all. All right, so moving right along, I'm going to go ahead and do Today in History. I really need music for this. Don't you think? I think I do. I keep talking about it, and I never do it, do I? So today in history, back in 1272, Edward I was proclaimed the King of England. In 1789, New Jersey became the first U.S. state to ratify the Bill of Rights. That's a nice piece of trivia there. In 1873, this is a lot more recently than I expected this to be, the rival cities of Buda and Pest united to form the capital of Hungary, which we all know as Budapest. Interesting, because I thought that had happened back in the Middle Ages, and I didn't realize that it was just in the last, in the 19th century. I didn't even know that. In 1923, Garrett Morgan of Cleveland, Ohio, invented and patented the modern traffic light. And that traffic signal that he invented is not that different from the traffic signal we have today. And Garrett Morgan, incidentally, he is a well-known citizen of my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. And he was also, prominent African-American inventor, which is, he doesn't get a lot of respect, I think. But changed the world forever. The traffic light. What would we do without traffic lights? I think we'd get in a lot of traffic accidents, I think. In 1945, 24 Nazi leaders were put on trial in Nuremberg, Germany, the beginning of the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial. I must say, very happy anniversary to somebody. 1947, Britain's Princess Elizabeth, now the Queen, married Philip Mountbatten of Greece. And they've been married ever since. So that's 53 years, folks. That's a good long time to be married. So congratulations, Your Majesty. And we're going to be talking about the royal wedding a little bit later in the show, I think. 1977, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat became the first Arab leader to address the Israeli parliament. So that was notable. Now, I know that another presenter on the show was kind of downgrading Jimmy Carter, saying some bad things about Jimmy Carter. And I can understand certainly why. But I think one of the main things that Jimmy Carter did accomplish, that it was a major international accomplishment by President Carter, was the Egyptian-Israeli peace accord. And that was a very big deal back in the day, because that followed, 30 years of hostilities between Egypt and Israel. And we don't see that today, do we? It's mostly with other countries. And in 1992, there was a fire at Windsor Castle. And that was, I remember that. I remember that was all over the news back in the day. And of course, the Queen referred to 1992 as her Annus Horribilis, the worst year that she got. I think that was the same year that Prince Charles was divorced and all these other things were coming out. Just a terrible year for the Queen that year. All right, so moving on to the birthdays. Famous birthdays today include Edwin Hubble. In 1889, he was an astronomer. He discovered redshift, which is one of the main ways that we are able to measure how the universe is expanding and what direction the universe is expanding. And, of course, is the namesake of the Hubble Space Telescope, one of the most successful space programs here in the United States over the last 50 years. Which is the Hubble Space Telescope still in operation. Having outlived its expected life by quite a lot now. In 1900, Chester Gould, the cartoonist, was born. He was the creator of Dick Tracy, which spawned a really bad movie starring Warren Beatty. In 1908, Alistair Cook was born in Manchester, England. He was the host of Masterpiece Theatre here in the States. I think he was known for other stuff in the UK. If somebody knows what he was better known for in the UK, to let me know. In 1925, Robert F. Kennedy was born. He was the Democratic senator from New York, the brother of the late President John F. Kennedy, and he himself was assassinated in 1968 while running for the Democratic nomination for president against Richard Nixon that year. In 1929, Dick Clark, TV show host, who has been kind of mummified for a lot of years, was born. He was became prominent hosting a show called American Bandstand, which is sort of like your Top of the Pops over in the UK. 1932, Richard Dawson was born in Hampshire, England. He was an actor known best here in the States for the TV show Hogan's Heroes back in the 60s, and in the 70s and 80s was the host of the game show Family Feud. In 1939, Dick Smothers was born, a comedian from the Smothers Brothers. In 1942, Joe Biden was born, the Vice President of the United States as we speak. Also in 1942, Norman Greenbaum. Many of you probably don't remember this gentleman, but he had a big hit back in, I think, 1972 with his song Spirit in the Sky. Another rock and roll birthday, 1946, Dwayne Allman from the Allman Brothers Band. In 1955, actress Bo Derek was born. And in 1965, Mike D, otherwise known as Mike Diamond of the Beastie Boys, was born. And that is today's birthdays. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take a very, very quick break here because, I need to blow my nose. Yeah, very exciting. So here we go. Here's one of the new trails we have.
Whether you want to chat, rant, rave, gob off, natter, speak, or just simply listen, then here is the place to get it off your chest. Not like that. Join me, Mike Cullen, for the Mouth of the Time, Thursdays from 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 p.m., where we'll do all of the above.
Chat, rant, rave, gob off,
Yeah, we get the idea. The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio. Miss it? Then there's always the podcasts. Go on, take me with you. Or join in live. See you there.
And that was our own friend Mike Cullen there with the Mouth of the Tyne. And you can hear Mike tomorrow, actually. Or no, is it tonight? He's going to be on tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm saying 7 o'clock and I'm sticking to it. That's when Mike will be on today. All right, so let's move on. And we're going to talk a little bit about the royal wedding. Now, because a lot of people are making a big deal about it, even here in the States, they're making a big deal about the royal wedding. And there's a lot of discussion, of course, I know, in the UK about the royal family, whether they're worth the money that is spent on them, whether or not the monarchy is something that has outlived its usefulness. And I think we know where some of our hosts fall on this, because we've heard the... we've heard Chris, of course, he's a big fan of the Queen. We'll be talking about that later in the show. Yeah, he has a very special relationship with the Queen, as I found out. And then, of course, Mike Cullen was talking about this on his last show. Now, one of the interesting things is how popular the British royals are here in the States. And the... I'm sorry, Chris Ridden corrects me here, saying that Mike Cullen is actually on from 9 until 11. I do apologize for that. I think that that time may have changed, hasn't it? Anyway, so 9 to 11 UK time. You can hear the voice of the time, Mike Cullen. But it's really amazing to me how popular the British royal family is here in the States. I mean, we fought a major war to not be the subjects of the English monarchy. So why, people ask, are Americans so obsessive about royal news from the British Isles? Well, it's all about the pageantry, isn't it? And there's certainly a lot of that to go around. It's also, and revolution or not, Revolutionary War or not, Britain is still a part of our history. Goes way back, at this point, over 200 years. But it is part of our heritage, nonetheless. There is a time, when the United States, not as a nation, but the United, people who are living in Massachusetts and Connecticut and Maine and Virginia, were part of the British Empire. That is part of our national heritage, whether we like to admit it or not. So to say, why are we interested in this foreign, these foreign royals? Well, there's a reason for that. First of all, we live in a culture that loves celebrity. And royalties they're the biggest celebrities of all. Makes sense, doesn't it? And we feel there's a lot of people in this country, they don't come from England originally. They don't have British heritage. They come from all over the world here in the States. And I suppose that's true of Canada and other places as well, that still do recognize the Queen. Bob, I don't know, says, Mike is on at 9, and do we have to talk about the royal wedding? She's bored of it already. Well, we won't talk about it for long, Bob. But I just wanted to put in my 2 cents on it. My thoughts about the royal family. I am interested in the royal family, partially because of this heritage that we have here from the States, but also because I'm related to the royal family. Now, it goes back a long time, back to the 11th century. But it's interesting to me. And, of course, history in general is interesting to me. If it weren't interesting to me, I wouldn't be doing like Today in History. And I don't do that just to fill time all the time. I do it partially because I find what's on there really interesting. And so I think it's okay to be a fan of the royal family if you're here in the States. Not as perhaps a system that we ourselves would like to live under, but just for interest's sake, and I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, incidentally, I share something very in common with Prince Charles. It's not my ears. Stop it. Stop it. Chris is the one with the ears, not me. Now, my ex-wife and I were married on the same day as Prince Charles and Lady Di, back in 1981, July 29th, I believe. I mean, the 29th in 1981. And that wasn't necessarily planned. But it just was sort of serendipitous that we got married on the same day. And I think our marriage lasted for about a year and a half longer than theirs did. But 12 years, 12 and a half years we were. And that's pretty good. So, that's pretty much all I have to say on the royal wedding. I think it's cool. I am following it. I'm not obsessed about it. I think it's neat. I look at the royal family more as being the sort of celebrities that we enjoy hearing about and not as sort of any kind of a special part of my life. I mean, if I didn't get royal news, it wouldn't affect me at all. But wouldn't it be great to actually be there at the royal wedding? I bet Chris is going to be there. I bet Chris is going to get an engraved invitation for the things that he has said on his show in support of the royal family. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. And I'm looking forward to the pictures, Chris, that you take at the royal wedding reception. I wonder if the queen will do the chicken dance at the wedding reception. I'd really like to hear that. All right, so moving on. We're going to, in the second half of the show, we're going to be trying Vitamalt. That'll be very exciting. And we're going to talk more about the Croatia again. We got cut off last time. I'm not sure exactly where we left off because the show, in fact, got cut off. So I'm going to pick up in Dubrovnik and move on and finish up. Ian Duff says the queen rocks. I agree with you, Ian. She's very hardworking, the queen. You know, considering that she's over 80 and, you know, she's probably works in her office, you know, for 10 hours of the day signing papers. Not exactly what I would call, you know, back-breaking labor. And, of course, she's well compensated for that, isn't she? I guess I should just shut up now. So, anyway, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
I love it!
As you know, every week or so, I cobble together clips of Chris and the things that he has decreed over the past little while. And here is Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week.
You must pick up coins from the floor, boys and girls. If you see a penny, do not walk up for it. Collect it.
And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Stay tuned because you may learn something interesting from this feature, including Chris's special relationship with the Queen.
I'm a great fan of the Queen, as you know. You know I love her. The only thing is, she's a little bit older now, and she does dribble a bit. And she comes up to bed. And it's wonderful. And she sleeps very close to me sometimes. Actually, she comes up, and she sat on my chest. She gets up and starts walking up and down me, on whatever bit of me is up. So she's obviously very content.
Well, obviously, she's very content, Chris. And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Ian is saying the queen has been the cement in our empire. I suppose that the monarchy in general, I mean, it does have that purpose. It's the one thing that everybody across the British, well, they really don't have the empire now, do they? They have... Is the Commonwealth still exist? You know, I'm very confused about that because you don't really hear about the British Commonwealth much nowadays. And I kind of gather that a lot of the members have dropped out of the British Commonwealth. I'd be very interested to hear that, though the listeners might not be. But certainly the Queen as the figurehead of the Commonwealth and indeed of the British Empire prior to the Commonwealth would be, that's the role that she should play. And doesn't she do it well? And I have my problems with Charles. I'll be honest with you. He has some very crazy ideas. And I can't imagine that after the Queen is gone, that Charles will be quite so effective. Maybe William will later, but I don't know. You know, and that's sort of how I think about it. Ian is asking, saying a penny for my thoughts. My thoughts aren't worth that much, I'm afraid. I do the show for free, dear. Chris is too tight. He won't pay us. He's not giving us the 80 pence from his music mixes. Incidentally, Chris is selling his music mixes now for 80 pence. This is not a commercial, but if you want to know more, you can listen to Chris's show. So that's kind of my thought on the royal wedding. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it. And I let the arguments about, you know, the suitability of the monarchy and all that stuff, that's not for me to decide. I'm an outsider here. I live in another country. I don't have a vested interest in it. But I will tell you something. That wedding is going to bring a lot of tourists in. And that is something that is going to help the economy, the British economy, and also the travel industry, always gets a boost from these things. A lot of people going, and I go to the UK on my own. It doesn't matter if there's a real wedding anyway. I love the UK. It's my second home. But, you know, that is going to bring a lot of people to the UK as tourists, and that'll be very good. So anyway, that's my thought on that. And I'm just going to move along now. We have a comment coming in here. Chris is saying he actually gets 57p for each one. Oh, that's not. You're charging 80 and you're getting 57. So who's getting that 23p? Who's getting? And he sold one so far to Millie. Oh, fantastic. Well, yeah, you can always count on Millie to be your number one fan, Chris. I'm absolutely sure of that. Ian is saying the Commonwealth is still huge. Many Caribbean countries, Canada, Fiji, etc. That's cool. Would you say, though, Ian, and feel free to call in if you like, Ian. Incidentally, to contact the show, I forgot to give the contact information. Can you believe it? Yeah, it's because of my microphone problem at the beginning of the show. The contact the show, you can call by telephone 020-3287-1488 if you're in the UK, or indeed you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. That's, I think it's the first time I've ever forgotten to do that contact information. Ian is saying that New Zealand and Australia are still part of the Commonwealth as well. Yeah, but I don't think it's really, they don't make as big a deal out of it as they used to, do they? I mean, the UN has kind of taken over that. Of course, before that, it was the Empire. The British Empire. You know, back when I was a stamp collector, and I was a stamp collector many, many years ago, that's another thing that I actually have in common with Chris, in fact, I used to collect the British Empire stamps. I didn't bother about a lot of the other countries. I didn't really have much interest, but I would actually collect British Empire stamps almost exclusively. Not exclusively, but almost exclusively. And I still have my stamp collection. It's not worth it much. Probably worth in the tens of dollars. Maybe a little bit more than that. But it's not anything extraordinarily valuable. But stamps, I don't know. Have stamps held their value over the years? I'm really not sure. Unless, except for the like penny black and the really rare misprints and things like that. I don't know that stamps have really held their values as collectibles. I think fewer and fewer people are actually interested in that. Ian is going on to say, we all love a big show like the Royal Wedding. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's almost free entertainment. For the societal benefit that you get, the financial benefit that you get to stimulating the economy, you got people who are making a lot of money off this making souvenirs. Chris is talking about that. Chris is talking about doing tea towels for the Royal Wedding. I think he should, Chris. You go to any antique store in the UK, almost any antique store in the UK, and you will find royal knickknacks all over the place. And I would be willing to bet that a lot of those were done illegally. I would be willing to bet that. Just people out to make a buck. And they're highly collectible now. Absolutely. So go ahead, Chris, and do your tea towels. And you should put your own picture on there next to Will's and Kate. You should have your face just slightly below them. Have their faces together in the center of the towel, and then right below that we'll have another little circle, and in there you would have Chris Reardon's face, your smiling face, staring out at all of the royal fans, and you say the Royal Wedding brought to you by United Kingdom Talk, and you can put the United Kingdom logo, the United Kingdom Radio logo, and perhaps a schedule. You could have the schedule of all of us presenters on the Royal Wedding tea towel. Or you could have Wills and Kate on one side and the United Kingdom Radio schedule on the other side. I think it's a fantastic idea. I'd be willing to invest I'd be willing to invest in that venture. I would. I would give you at least $20 to invest in that. Yeah, I totally would. Ian is mentioning the Commonwealth Games in India this year. Yeah, isn't that done with now? I thought that was over now. I thought that was done. But I'm not really sure. So if it is still going on, let me know. It could be one of those things that goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. It always seems to me that the Olympics goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. It always seems that way to me. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take another real quick break. And when we come back, I will be talking to you about Croatia. Croatia, part two. So stay tuned.
Hi, it's Suko. I tried to be more political and edgy. Doesn't seem to work. So it's back to simply being United Kingdom Radio Sex Goddess. Join me live Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time, 12 noon New York time, for some random chat with a little sensuality thrown in. I can't help it.
And that was the lovely and sexy Suko there from New York. And Suko will be on tomorrow at her usual time. It'll be 5 to 6 p.m. UK time tomorrow here on United Kingdom Radio. And we all love Suko. And even though I don't always listen to Suko live, I do always listen and do love her show. And and you should too. So, I forgot about the Vitamalt. You know what? I'm going to go get the Vitamalt. I'm going to go get the Vitamalt and bring it back here. And we're going to have our Vitamalt tasting now before I do the finish talking about Croatia a bit. All right? So just a moment, folks. I'm going to go ahead and play another trail. I know we're not supposed to play more than two per show, but I do need to run to the refrigerator, and I'll be right back.
Hello, it's Paul Edwards here, and I have a brand new slot on United Kingdom Radio, and I'm on a Sunday evening for 2 hours between 7 and 9 p.m. So help me out here. I need you all. Call the show and talk about the topics or anything you want to. So I look forward to speaking to you all soon on United Kingdom Radio.
And that was Paul Edwards there. And welcome back. And I do have now a bottle of Vitamalt. It's called Vitamalt Classic. This stuff is made in Mexico, so I don't know how good it's going to be. Yes, it's a live Vitamalt tasting on the Tom Harris Live show. And Ian is saying, yes, it is over. He can't wait to listen to hear about Croatia. I see that Paul Edwards has logged in. Hello, Paul. I just played your trail. All right, so we're going to try this Vitamalt. I'm just kind of giving it a little bit of a sniff. It smells a little bit like, I don't know how to describe it. Sort of like bad well water. It has a very strange odor. I don't know if I want to drink it now. All right, we're going to try this now. Okay, it's slightly carbonated. It has a little bit of a fizz, not too much of a fizz. It's slightly chocolate flavor. It's obviously not supposed to be chocolate drink, but it's kind of the notes of chocolate. Very malty. Yeah, it's obviously kind of a malt beverage. In the sense of that, that beer would be a malt beverage or whiskey would be a malt beverage. It's made with grain, probably barley. Ooh, slightly tasting of Marmite, which I can't stand. Vitamalt. Well, it's not nasty. It's just very, very weird. So I will be continuing to sip on this Vitamalt throughout the show. And if anybody has any interest in this, it's called Vitamalt Classic, alcohol-free malt beverage. And there's no alcohol in it. It says it's got a very bitter aftertaste, kind of a nasty aftertaste. But that's good stuff. Mikey is saying, what a ripoff, Dare. And I don't know what he's referring to, because that message came in very, very late. Paul is saying, welcome, Zach, and good luck. Oh, that's from Wednesday. Paul has not logged into Skype for a while. And says, you know, we do have the new presenters here, and I haven't heard any of them. And I'm kind of hoping that they start to podcast the shows, because I listen to all of the United Kingdom Radio shows, every single one of them. But I listen in podcast, and if the podcasts aren't posted, then I don't actually get to hear them. Because I like to listen to you all at work. That's when I like to listen. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Croatia. Last time I was on, I spoke about Zagreb and my trip to Dubrovnik, and I talked a bit about Dubrovnik. And I got kind of cut off when I was talking about having been out to Lokrum. Now, Lokrum is an island off the coast of Dubrovnik, fairly small island, I guess. It's not very big. And it's a bird sanctuary. Now, out on the bird sanctuary, there are the remains of a monastery, the Middle Age, back from the medieval period. And there's also the remains of a fort out there called Fort Royal. And, of course, Lokrum is a place where people go out and they go to the beach. They don't really have a beach, but there's rocks, and you sit in the rocks and you swim in the sea. And during my time out there, I did some swimming in the sea. And very, very nice it was, until I kicked a sea urchin. And if anybody knows what sea urchins are, they have the hundreds of tiny, tiny little, very, very sharp, bony spines, and got injured myself on a sea urchin, and had to kind of pick out the pieces of the spines and so forth as much as I could. And then I had to go on a hunt for hydrogen peroxide, because I wanted to disinfect the wound. And it was just a chore to find a place to buy hydrogen peroxide. In fact, I was not successful in finding hydrogen peroxide in Dubrovnik. I actually had to, that was my last day in Dubrovnik. I actually did have to wait until I got to Split the following day and to find hydrogen peroxide, because I could not find a drugstore anywhere in Dubrovnik. Not speaking the language is one of those things that doesn't help. Anyway, the ferry boat going back and forth to Lokrum was very very nice, very inexpensive. I think it cost about $2 or $3 to go out to Lokrum from Dubrovnik. Very, very nice. So if you happen to be in Dubrovnik, I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful city. As I said last time, it's a medieval walled city, and it's one of the very few fortified cities which the walls are completely intact. It's exactly as they were back in the Middle Ages. They are, 6 feet thick stone walls, very, very sturdy. And the buildings inside all have these tile roofs. Now, most of them had these sort of honey-colored tile, sort of a very light tan color tile. But during the shelling, because Dubrovnik was shelled back in 1997 for 7 months, 1997, I'm sorry, 1991. They were shelled for 7 months. 1997 was 2 years before I was there. That would have been bad. And so they've replaced many of the roofs with the more common orange tile that you kind of see everywhere in the Mediterranean. So it doesn't look quite the same as it used to, but hopefully they can maybe fix that up and make it look better. Anyway, it's a beautiful city, and I talked about it last time. So going on from there, I went back to Split. Now, Split is a really, really interesting place, because Split was founded by the Romans, was the capital of the Emperor Diocletian on the Dalmatian coast, and he indeed set up a palace there. Now, Diocletian's palace, the palace complex, and the palace complex consisted of several things. It consisted of a temple to Zeus, and there were military barracks, and this was also sort of like a military fort in addition to being the emperor's palace. And there were a series of storage and catacombs and things that still exist underneath that part of the city. It was all walled in. And then later, there was a mausoleum built for Diocletian after he died that was there as part of the complex. Now, he lived there, and also he had another place outside of Split that was his villa. And that's I believe that's still in the process of being excavated. And so this Vitamalt, the more you drink of it, the better it tastes, actually. Not bad, actually, really. So the interesting thing about this, the Diocletian's palace complex and the sort of fort that's got right kind of the center of Split, is that the wall is still there. You can still see a lot of what was built, and the mausoleum, of course, is no longer Diocletian's mausoleum. It was desecrated by the Christians. Diocletian was not a fan of Christians. He was one of the very few Roman emperors who was actually against Christianity. One of the very few. And he did, in fact, persecute the Christians. And the Christians repaid that, of course, by turning his mausoleum into a church. And they found his tomb. They scooped his bones out, threw them into the ocean. That was the end of Diocletian. And they turned his mausoleum into a church. Beautiful church, incidentally. It's an octagonal building. Very unusual sort of architecture for a church. It actually looks a lot more like a tomb. And they, it's got it all appointed very nicely and so forth. Now, you're able to climb up the mausoleum. And you can see, because it was actually a site where people would go back during the Roman era. You can actually see Roman graffito on the building, which is really interesting. And there are statues, there's some sphinxes that were brought over from Egypt. They're in front of the mausoleum. When they turned it into a church, they just kind of left everything in place. They didn't move anything. The sarcophagi for the various members of the imperial court, they were all kind of, the remains were removed, and the sarcophaguses were left in place on the outside of the church. So it's kind of an interesting place. Now, what has happened is that this palace has been incorporated into the city of Split. This is now your downtown area of Split. And this walled parade ground and the barracks and all that's gone and is now built up with buildings. Now, when the Venetians controlled this area much later, they converted all of this into residences and shops and things, and they built their own additions to the walled part of the city. And the Venetian ruins are still there as well. Now, the Venetian ruins have not aged as well as the Roman ruins, interestingly enough. And as time goes on, they've had to tear down a lot of these Venetian buildings from the Renaissance, while the Roman structures are still sound and they're still being used today. And the tiniest, narrowest streets you've ever seen. I would call them an alleyway here if I saw them here in Chicago. But there's actually, Split is home to the narrowest street in Europe, which is about wide enough for me to walk through and just barely have my shoulders not touch the walls on either side. And that is the narrowest street in Europe. And I I went down there and I had to go through that street and bought some CDs on that trip because I had a lack of things to listen to. I was getting sick of the CDs that I brought with me. Yes, I traveled with CDs. You just don't do that anymore, do you? Nobody travels with CDs anymore. Everyone has an iPod. Everybody but me. Anyway, if anyone wants to buy me an iPod, that's good. You don't have to, though. So I arrived in Split on the bus, came again back from the bus from Dubrovnik. And once again, I decided to take a chance on the people who kind of hang out there. They hang out by the bus station, people who have a room to let. And they'll have a sign, saying, oh, come stay at my house. And sometimes they'll show a photo of the room and the price. And, it's a lot cheaper and easier than going to look for a hotel. And I had very good luck with that in Dubrovnik, and I talked about that a little bit last time about, you know, waking up in the morning in this beautiful courtyard full of grapevines and having, you know, continental breakfast and grapes for breakfast every morning. And that was really nice. And I sort of had visions of that happening in Split as well. Didn't happen. Instead, I ended up with this, elderly lady who was actually renting out her sewing room. And it wasn't a converted sewing room. It was still a sewing room. It was a closet-sized room that had a cot. Well, it was a bed. It wasn't really a cot. It was a very small bed. And a sewing machine in there. And, laundry baskets and a washer and dryer. And that was her laundry room. And that was where I stayed. Dodgy, dodgy neighborhood. It was not far from the center, but I wouldn't recommend staying there. I felt very uneasy. I didn't feel uneasy when I first got there. It was just the old lady and she seemed okay. And there was an old man there as well, probably her husband. And they seemed quite nice. They didn't speak any English, but that was okay. But when I came back because I was out all day long. Now, of course, I didn't leave anything in there. I didn't leave any kind of valuables. I wouldn't do that. When I came back, there were some very dodgy-looking characters around her, grandchildren or children, and they didn't seem like the most wholesome type people, if you know what I'm saying. So it is kind of a mixed bag. I didn't feel threatened for my safety, but I definitely would not have left things in my room of any value, if you know what I'm talking about. So Split is interesting. Have to say, it's not my favorite place in Croatia. Certainly not. I think Dubrovnik would have to hold that prize. Oh, but I was telling a story here, and I've already lost the thread. Typical of me. Anyway, I was able to find hydrogen peroxide in Split. And was able to get a very small bottle of hydrogen peroxide. I think it cost me about 20 cents. So quite a good value that. But it was a real hassle to get because I had to go to an apothecary. It wasn't really even a pharmacy. It was actually an apothecary. And this person actually made medication at that location. There was actually a guy with a mortar and a pestle grinding up powder, making pills. He had a pill machine, which I thought was kind of a neat, it was kind of a big thing, that actually made kind of pressed pills out of powder. And he showed me his operation quite happily, but it's almost like you need to get anything. You almost need a prescription. Maybe that's a carryover from the old days, back in the Soviet days, back when Croatia was part of Yugoslavia. And maybe they're just kind of used to the whatever procedures you had to go through. But I was eventually, it was kind of a hassle, but I was eventually able to get my hydrogen peroxide. I still have the bottle, incidentally. The label's kind of worn off, but I do actually still have the bottle. The hydrogen peroxide got used up before I even came home because I had probably two dozen little puncture wounds in my big toe. And I had to pull out the little bits of sea urchin bit by bit. I know, this is really pleasant to think about. And they kind of worked their way out over a period of weeks. It was probably maybe 3 weeks it took me to recover from that. And every once in a while, I would still have a piece of sea urchin working its way out. But having been able to clean it up properly was a big help in having the hydrogen peroxide. Now, there's some other things in Split. There's a big city park. It's sort of like their version of Central Park. It is on a mountain, incidentally, interestingly enough. And you walk up the mountain. At the top, there's a very large amphitheater. I forget the name of the park. I had it written down at one point, and I don't have it now. But so there's like a big amphitheater at the top of this hill, and the hill overlooks the Adriatic. It's absolutely gorgeous. All of Croatia, I think, is gorgeous outside of the big cities. beautiful Mediterranean climate and just gorgeous sunset from up on top of this hill. I spent my last day in my last night, I should say, in Croatia, watching the sunset over the hills of Split, on top of the hill, looking out into the Mediterranean. I guess it's really the Adriatic. Fantastic views from up there. Now, the other thing they have up there, and I don't recommend, they have a zoo up there. And I use the word zoo kind of very sparingly, because after paying my $5 to get in, it was not very good. I thought it was kind of a bad zoo. And hopefully it's not there anymore. Hopefully they've actually cleaned that up. They had kind of small Soviet-era cages, filthy place, and no people. I think I was alone there. And the animals themselves didn't look for, they didn't have very many animals, to be honest. They had probably a dozen animals there. I think the largest thing they had was a tiger. And they had some monkeys and some pigs and some of the local wildlife, the wildlife that actually lives around Croatia. I would not have been shocked to see something like pigeons being kept there. anyway, that was not an optimal experience. But overall, I have to say Split is my least favorite city in Croatia, despite the wonderful Roman ruins that were there. It was very impressed by that. Oh, I forgot to mention that the catacombs. The catacombs underneath the Roman fort, underneath the mausoleum and underneath all that, there's a series of catacombs. Now, they were used by the Romans for storage. They would store wine and food and other things down there. They were for supplies for the army. But now what they've done is they've actually turned these catacombs into sort of a shopping center, kind of like an underground flea market. And you wander through, you can't really get lost because they're not that big, but you kind of wander from room to room under there. And you can find, souvenirs and trinkets and all that sort of thing. And very, very nice indeed. So that's actually quite worth seeing. I think Split, you can see the major sites of Split in one day. I don't think you need much more than that. As long as it's not a Sunday, I think you're good. Dubrovnik, I think, would require maybe 3 or 4 days to see in its entirety. There's a lot to see, a lot to experience. Beautiful, beautiful city. And Zagreb, worth a day or two. Yeah, especially a more cosmopolitan place like that. Anyway, we're running out of time. I do have to remember to stop at 2 minutes to the hour because of the delay. I never know exactly when I'm going to get cut off. Now, if I do get cut off, folks, if you ever hear my show stop suddenly, you know what to do. You go to my website, TomHarrisUSA.com, and you can download the podcast from there. Those podcasts are complete. They do not have anything cut off. It's the whole show from the beginning to end. And if I do get cut off, you know you could go there. But of course, you can also download them from unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. All right. Well, thanks very much for listening, everybody. I'm sorry I didn't have any calls today, but that's okay. Next week, I don't know what I'll be talking about yet, but we'll come up with something. So anyway, this is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off, and we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend, folks.
Don't cut me off!
I love it! Now, I'm going to have to take my trousers down and blow bubbles out of my bottom.